Get a frying pan out. Grab some Mudo eggs.
You're away.
You're away.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Podzilla. I'm Jasia.
Hey, I'm Micah.
And together, we watched through every single Godzilla movie, every single Godzilla television show, and then we just talk about it. We review it. We talk about why we liked it, what we didn't like.
You're making us sound so boring. We embrace these movies. We shove them in your face. And we're glad that you're here with us.
I thought that was a good intro.
To eat up this content. You're pitching it like a business meeting.
Hello, welcome. We're Podzilla.
This is me and my brother. Together we make Podzilla.
We'd love to. Yeah, we envision this as a...
We want to sell you some stocks.
Welcome back to Podzilla, guys. Today, we're actually... It's a lovely day on Monster Island. We just got a food delivery here to our little studio that G-Force have set us up with.
I didn't think that Uber Eats would deliver to Monster Island, but you pulled through.
Yeah, and we had a special request for this little delivery. We asked for a lot of cake, Micah, because we're going to be eating cake every night. Cake every night. Are you ready for this? Cake every night.
That's what I've always dreamed. When's the end limit to this? Every night until...
Podzilla's here on Monster Island. There's going to be cake every
yes!
night.
Yes! My dreams have come true. We have some chocolate. We have some sponge cake.
What's the best kind of cake? What would you say?
Upside down cake.
Seriously.
That encompasses every cake.
Serious. No, get out of here with the upside down cake. Seriously, I want to know, what's your favorite type of cake?
Oh, it's either ice cream cake. That doesn't count because it's ice cream.
I'll allow it.
I love a good bundt, but banana is always good as well.
Banana cake. Choc chips in there?
Yes. Yes. Chocolate chip banana cake.
Ooh. I can't go past cheesecake myself. Any type of cheesecake?
Cheesecake is also insanely good.
Yeah.
But banoffee pie.
Yeah.
Those are like
we're getting into pie territory. Is cheesecake even a cake?
Is banoffee pie even a cake?
No, it's a pie.
We're talking strictly cake. What's your go-to answer?
Carrot cake with cream cheese icing.
Yes. Okay, yeah? I agree. Carrot cake is great.
We're going to be having cake every night.
We've got all that and more.
Yeah, I can't wait. What have you been up to, Micah? You have, apparently, you were telling me you were playing a lot of video games recently.
Yes. If you don't know me, and Jason was hassling me for this the other day, I'm a big puzzle game fan. You were roasting me because my Steam page is filled with what seems like shovelware puzzle games.
I've been playing a few video games recently, and for the first time ever, I've nearly gotten all the Steam achievements for one video game.
Mm-hmm.
And I was feeling so good about myself. I'm like, man, this is, I've gotten all the achievements for a game. And I look at Micah's profile. He's completely gotten every achievement for like 200, 300
That's
games.
That's not true. That's not true.
And I looked at your playtime for most of them, and it's like 20 minutes. I was like, what's going on here?
No, I play a lot of like really out there Minesweeper variants. Like I love my puzzle games. I love my puzzle games. We've both been playing Battleline recently. Last season of Battleline, they announced that they were allowing players to obtain some bronze, silver, and gold Godzilla skins for the main Heisei variant, which they've only done once before. So I was like, hey, this season, my goal is to get silver Godzilla skin. That's achievable. So to do that, you had to be the top 500 for that season in the world.
That's crazy.
So New Year, Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, New Year's Day, I was grinding Battleline. I finally got there. I think I was like 454th or something, and I got the silver skin. Season turnover, new season has come in, and they announced that some more skins are going to be available.
Cool.
Like a Frost Ghidorah, a Valentine's Mothra.
Whoa.
They hadn't shown them off yet. They're silhouetted. But they said, to get these three, you have to buy Godzilla Voxel Wars.
And this is like the real cheap looking, like 8-bit styled puzzle game available on Steam.
Voxel style. So
what is voxel?
We saw the announcement trailer. We talked about it on here. We both weren't thrilled with it. We said we'd check it out. Voxel is the style where everything kind of looks like it's made up of Minecraft.
Yeah, yeah.
Blocks, bricks, like real blocks. Bricks and blocks. And I thought it was just going to be like a random mobile game. But I bought this game. I opened it up and I got addicted. If you've ever played, I don't know what, it's like a turn-based kind of RPG style game. There's one called Into the Breach, which is very fun, roguelike. This is a lot like that, but the best way, Jaysha, I can explain it to you.
Okay.
Have you ever been really into chess?
No.
Have you ever tried to get into chess?
No. I play chess.
I wouldn't call myself really into chess.
If you download the chess app.
I was really into Go.
Okay, that works as well.
Japanese version of kind of chess?
Yeah. On the Go website, because I know that there was a Go website, was there a place to do like Go puzzles where it's like in one or two moves, trap the player?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I get you.
The chess app has that as well. And Godzilla Voxel Wars is basically that. You have all your Godzilla units. I think there are like 20 to 25 at the moment. I haven't unlocked them all. You unlock them as you go through the campaign. But they each have their different moves they can do. Some of them get incredibly crazy. King Ghidorah like attacks the things three spaces in front of him in a line and then moves backwards one as well. You have to position your pieces across multiple turns in real puzzly ways so that you can defeat all these mushroom-like invaders from Mars.
Okay.
And the creatures they have taken over and the buildings they have created nests in.
All right. And you're liking it?
I'm loving it. It's fun. It's very fun gameplay-wise.
Wow.
This story is so weird. You're playing as a kid whose dad, I think, was caught up in like some Mars mystery where they brought back some fungi from Mars. And like the way this kid's getting through it is therapy using his Godzilla toys.
So, I mean, in the Godzilla universe, there are aliens. It's not any of these aliens. And in the Godzilla universe, there are like evil mushroom monsters called Matango. It's not Matango.
Not Matango. They should have done Matango. I know in the promo trailers, and I think you shared an image where there was a level called like Maguma Returns.
Yeah.
That was just a play on words for magma. There aren't a lot of real niche monsters, but most of the big ones are there. It's very, very fun. You can create your own levels. If you like your puzzler games, if you like playing chess, it's a big old recommendation from me.
Have you got all the achievements yet?
I haven't even finished like the second world out of
six. I never saw this coming. I never saw you being the biggest Voxel Wars fan on the planet. We're already a laughing stock because of how much we talk about Battleline and how we got Voxel Wars.
I don't know a single person that has played this game besides me. And we are on a Discord full of Godzilla lovers. It's the perfect game to play on my Steam Deck. I will sit in bed before I go to bed and just stare at my screen for an hour straight trying to play and defeat one level. And it rots my brain and it breaks my brain and I love it.
Man, I might need to check it out.
I don't think you'd do well in it, but I dare you to try.
All right. Okay, now I'm going to have to.
What Godzilla or Godzilla adjacent hobbies or things have you been doing recently, Jaysha?
Nothing.
Fantastic. On to the movie.
I know. I've been obsessed recently with another film franchise called Puppet Master.
Okay.
Which has, very similarly to Godzilla, a lot of movies. And a lot of movies that have characters in them that tie into the Puppet Master movies. So on the side of doing this Godzilla journey for the show, I've been like doing my own little Puppet Master journey with my friends. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of consumed me at the moment. And 99% of the Puppet Master movies are just trash. So that's been my spare time, watching trashy old 90s horror movies.
Great. Awesome.
We did have a bit of big news, right?
Look, something's gone amiss on our podcast. We had everything planned out. We had a certain date. We were going to watch all of these Reiwa Godzilla movies by the time that Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, comes out in theaters.
Reiwa and Monsterverse movies.
Reiwa and Monsterverse.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, It was brought forward by 2 weeks.
Instead of coming out like April 12th, I think Godzilla East Kong now comes out
March 29th.
Yeah. So our schedule's in shambles.
Yeah. So we're going to do something. We're going to do the mad dash, the sprint, if you will, to Godzilla X Kong, the new empire. Over the next month or two, there will be some weeks where, you know, we'll continue our weekly schedule. There might be an extra episode just chucked in there.
Yeah. So we'll still be here every single Wednesday. But a couple of times throughout the next couple of months, you will get two episodes potentially in the same week. So won't happen often.
Won't happen often, but look forward to that.
Yeah. That's how we're going to do it. We're still going to be done by Godzilla X Kong, March 29th now.
That's right. It's going to make up for all of those years we spent doing fortnightly episodes.
Yeah.
I think it means there'll be like, there'll be at least two instances where you'll get three episodes in the space of 7 or 8 days.
Yeah.
That's how it works out. Which is going to be fun for you editing, Jasha.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it. Mm. I'm just going to release some unedited.
Sweet.
Yeah. Anyway, should we talk about the movie?
The movie.
That we're covering this episode.
Yeah.
Because it's big. It's the movie that kicks off the MonsterVerse. We went straight from watching Final Wars 1 week to this next, right?
Yep. Decade gap in between.
But there is a 10-year gap in between. So this is the big return for Godzilla in Gareth Edwards' Godzilla 2014. In 1954, the US military, working alongside the secretive organization called Monarch, executes a covert hydrogen bomb test in Bikini Atoll, codenamed Castle Bravo, targeting the colossal creature Godzilla. 45 years later, in 1999, Monarch's Dr. Ishiro Serizawa investigates a mining disaster in the Philippines and discovers the skeleton of a huge creature, the remains of eggs, and evidence that something escaped into the sea. Soon afterwards in Japan, a seismic event takes place at a nuclear plant, leading to a cover-up blaming an earthquake. 15 years after that, explosive disposal officer Ford Brody, son of the nuclear plant supervisor Joe Brody, learns of his father's arrest for investigating the ruined site of the plant. Bailing him out and heading back to the plant together, they discover a hidden Monarch lab and a large chrysalis housing one of the same creatures from the Philippines. The creature, dubbed a Muto, suddenly hatches, sends the whole Monarch operation into chaos, and kills Ford's father, Joe, in the destruction. Afterwards, Monarch reveals their mission to Ford and explains Godzilla's ancient existence as an alpha predator on a highly radioactive Earth. Without much time to breathe, however, a second Muto emerges in Nevada and begins to rampage throughout the city. To thwart the monsters, humanity comes up with a plan to lure them with a nuclear warhead, a plan Serizawa vehemently opposes. Ford, with his EOD training, chooses to be a part of the team transporting the nukes. As everyone and everything converges on San Francisco, Godzilla joins the fight. A battle ensues, sacrifices are made, and who comes out the victor? The savior of the city, the king of the monsters, Godzilla.
How good, man.
How good, man.
How good, man, is that synopsis?
Thanks, man. It's good to hear that, man.
No worries, man.
Mikey, this was your first time ever watching Godzilla 2014. This is the first time you have seen a MonsterVerse movie.
Not true.
Outside of Kong Skull Island.
True.
What did you think? Out the gate.
Out the gate.
We're not in Japan anymore. We're not in Toho's world. We're in the world of Legendary Pictures and Gareth Edwards.
And Gareth Edwards. This is the second Gareth Edwards movie we've covered on the podcast.
Yeah.
We watched his Monsters flick.
Yeah.
Which, am I right in saying Legendary saw that and brought him on for this?
Yeah, they thought it'd be a good fit.
I love his style of a Godzilla movie.
Nice, yeah.
Monsters, very thematically similar, focusing on like the effect on the natural world and society when these other monsters come along. And it's cool to see in this movie just how much he builds up these monsters. And, you know, how he just makes the world feel scary at times.
Yeah.
Straight off the bat, we come in and we see good old Bryan Cranston.
Bryan Cranston, the legend.
I think it's the first time I've ever seen him actually acting in something.
Really?
Yeah.
Never caught Malcolm in the Middle.
Never caught Breaking Bad.
No, man.
Can I name one more thing with him in? Nope.
Power Rangers 2017.
Yes. No, I haven't seen that. But like for the first good portion of this film, we're just following this dude as we see a nuclear plant blow up.
Yeah.
No monsters inside at that point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And even in those opening scenes, you feel the knock-on effects of what's been happening to this world.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love how that travels the whole way through.
As well as you, I think Gareth Edwards was just the perfect choice to make this movie. I mean, we talked about it in our Monsters episode, but he really has a way of focusing on the world, focusing on the characters, and showing the scale of the monsters compared to them. And I love how that played out in this movie. I think the first half of this movie just has amazing pace. I'm absolutely in love with the first half of the movie. Even the intro, I mean, we get like all the newspaper clippings and all the Monarch stuff as the credits play, redacted bits of information, and that slowly fades into the explosion of a bomb. And there's a white screen, there's black ash in the sky as Godzilla fades in. And then from that, we, just like you said, we get a little bit of like tease of the monster stuff, but Bryan Cranston is the heart and soul of this movie. His bad wig aside.
He just filmed Breaking Bad. Give him a break. Being bad.
But yeah, there's Bryan Cranston and his wife in this, Sandra Brody, who's played by Juliette Binoche, who is an amazing French actress. I really love a lot of her movies.
So do I.
You like the Three Colors trilogy,
as do
Micah?
I.
Yeah?
Yeah, red, blue, and white.
Hey, you got that right somehow.
Hey, Drew.
But yeah, I think the whole scene with them at the start of this movie is just insane. What a like amazing opening with the radiation cloud going off throughout the nuclear plant, things exploding, Juliette Binoche's character getting stuck while the like cloud's chasing her.
Yeah, that scene is so good. Her running through the tunnels,
yeah,
and Cranston standing there. What he's having to do is like hold the door,
wait for them,
manually close it when they get through to block off this,
mm-hmm,
this cloud. And he's just waiting there, walkie-talkie in hand, as he's hearing them screaming for their lives, telling him to close the door.
And the scream that he lets out, and then when he has to close the door, when he sees his wife through the little like window, as he's just crying and bawling, it's such an emotional start to the movie.
Scene. Yeah.
Yeah, I just loved it. His whole performance was great. It is just a shame that we only get about 20 minutes of him, because we get a bit of a flash forward after that, and then we meet our actual protagonist, played by Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Yeah.
Ford Brody.
My boy. You all know him from Bullet Train, best movie of 2022.
Kick-Ass, amazing movie. The sequel, not so much.
Craven. Did that movie come out?
Nah, I think it comes out later this year. He is going to be Craven the Hunter. You're right. I really like Aaron Taylor Johnson and a lot of stuff I've seen him in. He's just a bit meh in this. Like, he's not giving us anything.
Yeah, no, Brian's great. Have you seen that Tom Holland meme where it's him and people say he always looks like he has a frog in his mouth?
No.
He's
no. What?
People always say Tom Holland's resting face, it just looks like he's holding a frog in his mouth.
Yeah.
Aaron Taylor just looks like that to me in this movie. And I don't know why, but he's like pretty muscly, but he's got this short cropped hair. And it just looks like he's lost in a lot of the scenes here. Like he's awkwardly like half sitting on like the train seat. Whenever he's sitting, he just doesn't look like he's supposed to be there.
It doesn't help that like his character's also shoehorned into the movie. Like his dad, Joe, definitely has ties to the Mutos and Godzilla and everything that's happening, because he was at that original nuclear plant. His wife died in the explosion that was caused by one of the Mutos.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get Ford added into the story because of that, and because he is around when the Muto hatches from the chrysalis. But every single scene after that, he's kind of just aimlessly trying to get back home, and then gets pushed into this situation and that situation, and he's here and he's trained, so he will help out with this.
He's kind of just brought along by the wind of things.
Yeah, he is. The winds of change.
The winds of change. Ford is on those winds.
What do you think about Elizabeth Olsen? We get Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver playing husband and wife.
I can't tell you.
Can I see it?
Don't let him see. Don't let him see.
Whoa. Oh, my God.
It's a welcome home.
Oh, my God. Look at that.
That's you. And that's me.
What's it say?
Welcome home, Daddy.
Daddy's home.
Daddy's home.
Cake every night.
Yeah, that's
Daddy's
not
home
happening.
Equals cake every
How
night.
How did you manage to get chocolate on your eyeball?
She's great. I love her in this.
I just think she was underused. Like, she gets one scene when she's tearing up. I can't remember when, but there's a really emotional scene with her. But she's probably in like 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, she plays panicked civilian real well. I feel like they could have even used that to spurn her on to do some really cool feats and moments.
I would have loved to see some good scenes throughout the hospital, because she's a nurse there, right? We don't really see anything of like...
Even just like, because she's in some of the buildings where Godzilla is.
Yeah.
Godzilla and the Muto are destroying when they're having their big rampage. Have like some other people be caught under some rubble or like trapped across a gap, and have her be the one to save them.
Yeah. Just get her to do something.
Yeah, because she doesn't have any heroic moments, I don't think so.
No. She's kind of just there.
She's there. She's helping people.
She's reacting to things. Ford's reacting to things.
She's a nurse. Love my nurse representation.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think about our other two kind of main characters, members of Monarch? We get Ashiro Serizawa. First name Ashiro.
Not Ashiro Honda.
No, not Ashiro Honda, but in honor of him, which was cool.
Yeah.
Played by Ken Watanabe. And then we have Sally Hawkins playing Dr. Vivian Graham.
Sally Hawkins is great. I can't remember too much about what she does, but I remember really liking her.
Yeah.
Ken Watanabe, I have a problem with this character, Jaisha.
You don't like Serizawa in the MonsterVerse?
Well, tell me one thing that Serizawa did in the original Gojira movie.
He's kind of a haunted man. He's created this invention, this power that
Tell me, he's a scientist. Tell me one thing he did.
He saved the world. He used his invention to kill Godzilla.
Yeah, he saved the world. Tell me one thing that this Serizawa does.
He knows a lot about Godzilla. He's knowledgeable. He knows about the Mutos.
He is knowledgeable. I just feel like that knowledge wasn't really brought across to us in any meaningful way. It's nice to have some... He seemed like the exposition character.
He was. I mean, he has a lot of good lines.
This alpha predator of yours, Doctor. Do you really think he has a chance?
The arrogance of man is thinking nature is in our control, and not the other way around. Let them fight.
Let them fight. Like, he's the character.
Like good stuff, yeah.
He's the character who always like, hey, let's not use nukes against these monsters. Let's stay out of it completely. Let nature take its course. Let's let Godzilla get rid of the monsters. Humanity doesn't need to intervene. That's his whole thing, right?
He's like the voice of the fans.
He's the classic character, kind of like Yamane in the original Godzilla.
Yeah, he's acting much more as a Yamane character.
Yeah. That's probably
that's absolutely right.
That's a way better comparison, him to Yamane, than him to the actual Serizawa.
Like, if they named him Ashiro
Yamane?
Yeah. Fantastic. Give him a mustache and you're sorted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just feel like he didn't live up to the Serizawa name, but he's an all right character otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, that's my main problem with the movie. I think that's a lot of people's main problem with the movie, is the human characters are just a bit boring. They're not given much to do. They're always reacting to things. They're never really taking charge.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole plot of the movie, it doesn't even get it across well that they were trying to like use nukes to destroy the monsters, and the different teams were getting sent out to tactically like destroy the monsters and destroy the eggs.
No, because as we go on, Aaron Taylor-Johnson,
They're always doing things, but it's not really like...
Yeah, the one thing that I feel like the humans did in this movie was he did his halo dive.
Yeah.
He got the bomb.
Yeah.
He set the nest on fire, which is a big move in the grand scheme of things.
Huge. Yeah.
And then he brought the bomb to a ship.
Yeah.
Which, two things, pretty impactful.
Yeah, if they hadn't,
mind you,
Godzilla probably wouldn't have destroyed the egg, so it was good that humans did that.
Yep.
Yeah, but it just feels like they're always doing things. It doesn't really give us much of a reason to care about them. And you are always just waiting for the monsters.
Mm.
But I will say, yeah, Bryan Cranston, man. he's so good in this.
I want my son. And I want my bag and discs. And I want to talk to somebody in charge, not you. No, not you. I'm done talking to you. All right? Well, you're looking at me right now like I'm in a fish tank, right? That's fine, because I know what happened here. And you keep telling everybody that this place is a death zone, but it's not. You're lying. Because what's really happening is that you're hiding something out there. I'm right, aren't I? My wife died here! Something killed my wife! And I have a right to know! I deserve answers!
Yeah, I love him.
He's really good at this.
I love my boy Cranston.
I love that scene when he's like, Ford picks him up from being arrested from jail. They go back to Joe's place, Bryan Cranston's place, and like Ford's been like, hey, we need you at home, Dad. We need you with the family. And Bryan Cranston's just like, yeah, I'll come home with you guys. Let's head off in the morning. And then first thing in the morning, Ford wakes up, goes and checks on his dad. And Bryan Cranston's just like listening on.
Hunched over, headphones on.
Hunched over, caught in the act of just trying to like look up information and get back to secretly the site to get someone. Back to the blood.
I love his character arc as well, because he's trying to find the reason for his wife's death.
Yeah.
He's trying to find one photo of her because he never had a photo.
Yeah,
I
great.
Love that little aspect of it. And yeah, he's a haunted man because of that. So he's kind of doing anything, not just to prove that his wife died for a reason, but also to show the world that there's something deeper behind us. And he is the one who eventually lets Monarch know what the Muto Chrysalis is up to.
Yeah.
And I love this whole introduction for the Mutos here.
What did you think of the Mutos? This is an all-new monster created specifically for the Monsterverse.
First
what, do you
American
know what it stands for?
Kaiju.
Is it like mutated something something organism?
I have it. No, yeah, it is the first non-Toho created kaiju.
Yeah.
In the whole Godzilla franchise, which is fantastic. It is a massive unidentified terrestrial organism.
It's so funny that that's their names.
It's the one thing I don't like about the Mutos. Godzilla's history, I feel like you have all these awesome names for characters that make them feel unique to each their own. If they gave these two creatures an original name rather than an anagram, I feel like they'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Apart from that, though, I love these characters. Prior to seeing these movies, I knew about Mutos. I knew that it wasn't a specific creature. I knew there was more than one. I didn't really know much apart from that. But every single aspect of these guys, I just loved. The whole inspiration that they took from them with having like insectoid backgrounds.
Mm.
They're created almost like praying mantises, I felt like.
Yeah, I loved how there was a male one and a female one. And the female one was like so big,
so bulky.
And then you got your little short king male Muto.
Short king male Muto.
he's got wings, but he's kind of just small and piddly.
No, it's a really cool idea for a duo of creatures. And they have like a whole bunch of insectoid like characteristics. At one point, one's passing off a warhead to the other. And I know that some insects do like give a gift to each other as part of a mating ritual.
I love how they're just chomping down on nukes throughout the whole movie.
I
kind of like Varan and players, right? Yeah.
They love their nuclear material. I love their design. I love their look. They look like Nagakuga from Monster Hunter with the red like LED strip eyes.
Yeah, I love that about them.
Absolute favorite thing though is the roar, the sound effects of the roar that they use for these guys. what they did to make these creatures' noises was they rubbed a balloon.
Classic.
They rubbed a rubber shoe along a drum skin. They use some bass strings. They use squeaky joints of an ironing board. And they use some donkey noises as well. But it all comes together just to make this really haunting cry.
Screech almost, yeah.
It's so, so good. What did you think about Muto's seeing them for not the first time?
Yeah, I don't know. I have always found them a little bit forgettable. And I don't know if it's just because they're another like big... like gray new creature. I
like literally gray?
Yeah, just like dull colored, almost dull looking.
Yeah.
I find that, I mean, we'll meet some more kaiju as the Monsterverse goes on. I find that's a problem for a lot of them, is they're just forgettable and kind of lame. I did appreciate the Mutos a lot more this time around. I love the way that Gareth Edwards shoots this whole movie. A majority of, especially the back half, is just dark. A lot of black is used. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely love how the Mutos are used in those sequences as the pops of color, how it will just be a dark like scene. I think there's a scene later on when Ford and another soldier are lying on train tracks trying to hide from the Mutos. Mm-hmm. And it's just the whole screen's dark, and then you see the orange and the red of the Mutos' eyes as they move past, and then you see the red of all the eggs on its yes. stomach. I think that's when they really shine, is just during the scenes taking place at night during this movie. It's really ingenious. I love how a lot of the fight scenes are at night, and I love that the Mutos are the perfect monsters to be used in those scenes.
Yeah, I know a lot of people really don't like how dark this movie is. I've seen like
cool
fan edits of them brightening up.
I know
the later half of this movie. I think it's fine as is.
I think it adds to the movie. It adds this real sense of terror and dread.
Yeah, there's nothing like having a real dark scene, and like I love the scenes when you first see the Muto.
Yeah.
Coming out after the chrysalis.
Yeah, great scene
where Gareth chooses to like focus on just like the front claw of one.
Mm-hmm.
He loves to do this thing in this movie where he just focuses on a single part of the monster and then slowly draws the camera towards the full picture of the creature itself. Does that so much, and even just like seeing Godzilla's tail in this,
yeah,
it hypes you up so much. It's just seeing a small portion, really dark. I know he took a lot of inspiration from the Jaws movie, and that you've seen Jaws. You would have seen Jaws.
Yeah, have you seen Jaws?
I haven't seen Jaws, but of course you have. Where they don't, fact check me on this, they don't show the actual shark until like the very, very end of the movie.
I can't quite remember. That makes sense.
I'm going to say that. It's a fact now.
I mean, they try to do that with like Alien as well. A lot of the classic monster movies, less is more when it comes to the monsters a lot of the time.
You don't get a full picture at all. And sometimes you don't even at the end.
Yeah, well, I know that was another problem that a lot of people have had with the movie. And it's also something I really liked. But there's a real intense scene that'll start up between the Mutos and Godzilla. Then it will just cut away to the humans doing something. It will cut away to, instead of seeing the battle take place, you'll just see snippets of it on like a news segment on a screen in a casino or something. And it's something that's like directly, he does the exact same thing in Monsters.
Yeah, he does.
And I really like that because it just shows the difference in scale and size and how small humans are to these big things. They're almost on another level.
Yeah.
I just love the different perspectives, how he plays with the perspectives. I mean, there's a whole lot of first person shots he does with Ford later on. Again, I thought those were just really creative. I love the way he makes his movies.
Yeah, and I know Godzilla is at his tallest in this, 108.2 meters, tallest at the time. But seeing those scenes, like we don't see him until far into
nearly the hour mark, I think.
Yeah, we see snippets of his scoots going through the water.
It looks great.
When he comes onto land, we see shots of just his ginormous feet stomping on. You rarely see, until the big fight at the end, scenes where the actual focus is on Godzilla.
Yeah.
I know compared to like Showa Godzilla movies where you have the whole movie when Godzilla comes in is focused on Godzilla mm-hmm. and the suit and who he's fighting. But in this, it's much more character focused. It does what I've heard the Gamera movies do where you see a lot of the fighting from the people's perspective.
Yeah.
Which I really love. It definitely emphasizes the scale. And I think in Godzilla's case, when you do see him come in his full glory,
yeah,
it's just such a momentous feeling, especially after a decade if you're watching this at the time.
Is that scene when we see him, the specific shot when we see him like in that huge window? I don't know if it's an airport or... Mm-hmm.
The airport, yeah.
Yeah. Great shot. What did you think of the way Godzilla looks? He's a lot chunkier. He's a lot more, dare I say, elephant-like with his feet.
He looks like a Komodo dragon.
Yeah.
Which was an inspiration for it. He...
Small head.
So I'm going to say two things here. I'm going to say that this movie has the best VFX of Godzilla
to date.
Obviously to date, if before this is Final Wars.
Yeah.
But I think even better than like Minus One.
Whoa.
In terms of VFX.
Wow. Okay.
And two, I just really love this. I really love their take on
the design. Hey.
What they did in creating him was Gareth said that they wanted this iteration of Godzilla to be like, if you imagine back to the original Toho movies, if you saw Godzilla for the first time, you're part of Toho, you come back running and you're like, I just saw this ginormous dinosaur-like lizard creature. Let me draw him for you. And they come up with the Toho original design from that.
Yeah.
He wanted this to be what they what that drawing was based off, what that first idea for Godzilla was based off.
That's so funny.
Like, kind of emphasize characteristics.
Yeah.
I really like him here. Not to mention all the cool parts of his physicality, his rocky scoots. I don't mind that he doesn't have like specific dorsal plates here.
Yeah.
His spikes are fantastic, but all the other stuff about him as well. I mean, his atomic breath scenes.
More of like a beam almost in this than like a fiery blast.
Like whispery fire.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Blue fire. What do you think, having seen more of the other like MonsterVerse movies, how does this one compare in terms of characteristics?
Man, I don't know. I'm probably in the minority. I think I definitely am in the minority. But this Godzilla design kind of bores me. I agree with you that the CGI is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is amazing. I mean, this movie's 10 years old this year.
Yeah.
And it still looks like it could come out today and I'd be impressed by it.
Yeah.
There's scenes when like Godzilla's tail's coming out of the water. The water scenes when you see his scoots, it's just all so good. It looks amazing. And it probably looks as good as it does because a lot of the scenes are shot in the dark and they can hide a lot more.
I think that's a big factor of it.
But I don't know. The design overall, I think I like my Godzillas to pop. I like them to have a little something extra, a little bit of color somewhere or something weird and defining about them. So this guy, again, just being a big hulking gray monster, doesn't quite do it for me. However, I don't mind the general design of him. Like the way I like his head size. I like how bulky he is. I think that's pretty cool.
Like his elephant feet.
Yeah. I think I'm just waiting for, I think the Godzilla X Kong pink Godzilla, I think that'll be that
really
pop.
Pops.
Yeah. That'll be that little pop I need.
I think he's like the perfect amount of realistic for me.
Yeah. Cool.
I think I do like this design better than Minus Goji.
Wow.
It just feels like a real natural.
Yeah, yeah.
A natural version of this monster for me.
Yeah.
Shout out again to that scene where Aaron Taylor Johnson is bloody lying on the ground. Mudo is staring at him because some piece of metal like croaked and...
Yeah.
Croaked? Groaned.
Some of the metal
groaned and creaked.
The croaked, yeah.
Nearby him, croaked near him. And you see...
The guy who looks like he has a frog in his throat, croaked.
Yeah. And it's a close-up of his face, and you just see his face almost like rimlit by this blue sheen.
Yeah.
And it cuts to just this blue glowing out of the darkness. You see just his tail glowing blue.
Yeah.
And
the charge-up.
I love the sound design in this film. The charge-up for this Godzilla. I mean, how do you even explain it? The Roar, they haven't actually released how it was made.
Wow.
Because they've wanted to keep it so secret as to preserve the magic. Yeah, but the atomic breath sound, it sounds like a jet engine.
Yeah. But yet, like, natural at the same time, like you believe that it could be coming out of Godzilla. I don't know.
I didn't even know. I just love it.
I remember being in the theaters, specifically during that charge up scene and a lot of the scenes when Godzilla roars. Mm-hmm. And it was such a cool experience. Anytime Godzilla roars, I mean, we felt the same way during Minus One in theaters.
Yeah.
Great moments to be in a cinema for.
Yeah.
How about the scene when Godzilla rips open the female Muto's mouth and lets an atomic breath right down her throat, causing like the head to come off from the body?
This is so good.
Crazy imagery. I love it. My jaw was on the floor when I first saw this and when I just watched it for the show.
Mm.
Awesome scene.
It's so, so good. The fact that he ends up like unintentionally beheading that Muto is so good. I also love how he takes out the, I think it's the male Muto. He just whacks his tail into him.
Yeah. And then impales him on like metal and spikes and debris.
And I just love it because especially with that tail action, the weight that they give to Godzilla in this movie is above every other thing I think we've seen so far. And the fact that he can just hit something with his tail and you feel that impact.
Yeah.
Every step you feel the destruction and the weight of this Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yeah. Another cool scene that I had here, the Halo jump scene. I mean, we've referenced it a bit.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But when Ford and the soldiers are up in the air, the like music starts. I don't even know if it's music, more like vocal.
Requiem.
Requiem.
It's from a famous movie. I want to
say. Is it?
Let me fact check this. I think it's from A Space Odyssey.
No way.
Yeah, 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Really?
I think it was Gareth who had that scene on when he was like figuring out how to do that Halo jump scene first time. And he was like, you know, let's just pop this in the movie. It's too good.
Yeah, it's such a cool scene. It's so intense. The visuals, again, the imagery is just amazing. These guys descending from the sky, the red against the black.
I have watched a little bit of the recent Ultraman
Blazar
series that came out last year. And one of the first scenes in that was, people on the ground, very much like the Mechagodzilla movies where you have this team of soldiers on the ground trying to fight Godzilla on foot. And they have a similar jumping scene in that. But here, I think this might be my favorite.
Whoa.
My favorite non-kaiju fighting moment.
Really?
It's so good. They use it in the trailer.
Yeah.
The OG trailer, and it's fantastic. The posters all have some aspect of the Halo jump in it. Like my favorite poster was of all time.
Yeah.
It's such a good little idea for a Godzilla movie.
And that's the thing. I think that's where this movie thrives and shines is the imagery in those scenes, the real unique, really interesting scenes like the Halo jump, like the fights between Godzilla and the Mutos, like the quiet moments when things seem to be slow and quieting down and then something all of a sudden happens. The actual flow of the movie and the way that Gareth Edwards directs these scenes, amazing. It's just such a shame that human stuff is the big letdown.
Yeah. And it's realistic, I guess, because you're just following people trying to cope with a disaster.
But it just slows almost to a halt.
Yeah.
And it's not like Gareth Edwards' Monsters movie when I was really into the humans and that and their dynamic.
Because what was the thing about that? It's almost like that focused on how slow it was.
Yeah.
Their journey of making their way through this land plagued with monsters.
Yeah.
And emphasizing the quiet moments and the conversations and the feelings that arise because of that.
Yeah, and we don't really get any of the quiet moments or conversations in this. I mean, we get Ford having to look after a little kid that's stuck with him on the train.
He gives him a little action figure.
What does he say to him? Nothing. Hey, here, you wanted this action figure. Let's sit in awkward silence while you play with that and wait for your parents.
Hey, wait for 10 seconds and the lights will come back on.
Absolute nothing of a character.
I don't know. I don't think it's Aaron's fault because I love him in some of the movies.
Yeah, it's the way the character.
I think it's
written.
Just the script.
Yeah,
that character isn't fantastic.
He's got nothing to work with. I'll take any Raymond Burr character over Ford Brody. Whoa.
Would you not?
It'll be
no
nice,
comment,
right?
No comment. It'll be.
Yeah, Flip. I've got so many scenes written down. How about when Elizabeth Olsen's character sees the dude parachuting through the mist, and then all of a sudden, like, the jet hits a building behind her. That's such a cool moment. Mm-hmm. Again, when we cut to, like, Ford's kid watching the TV and seeing the Godzilla fight happening there, and then we cut to the casino and they're watching the fight happen, and then the Muto actually comes through the ceiling.
Yeah, there's a lot of those cool like moments where it shifts from those human characters' perspective, mm-hmm. and then suddenly it's almost like a cut, but a real natural cut to the, yeah. to the monsters coming in.
Something that was interesting about this movie was they departed from the original take on Godzilla when he was like a dinosaur, a creature that was affected and created by the nuclear bomb tests. And this, the whole thing is that Godzilla in this form has always existed from long ago, and the nuclear bomb tests weren't to create him. They were to try and kill him, which is interesting. It was just an interesting change.
It's like a reverse origin.
Yeah.
Because we still don't really know how Godzilla came about.
No.
I think it's rumored in the movie that it's just been around for centuries.
Mm.
What did you think of that take on it?
I don't know. It's because I don't know if this movie had a message. I mean, we've got Serizawa talking about nature and letting nature take its course, and you kind of like humans just need to stay out of it. So I guess there's some sort of environmentalist message here. But I don't know. I don't know what to get from, like, Godzilla obviously isn't there to represent Hiroshima or the nuclear bombs anymore.
He's definitely linked with him.
But he's linked with him in a way that, like, he is so powerful that nuclear bombs are the only thing humanity has that can possibly affect him. So I don't know. He is still this huge, strong force on the level of nuclear bombs, if not higher. But I don't think they're saying anything there or wanting to draw any parallels or comparisons.
Have you seen the original Comic-Con teaser for this movie?
Yeah. We see like just a destroyed city. We see a carcass of some strange creature. Yep. And I don't remember if we see Godzilla's face or hear him at least.
Brief, kind of silhouette, kind of showing Godzilla at the end. But that original teaser, what they had was a voiceover of J. Robert Oppenheimer's actual speech going over that. Everybody loves that teaser. It's regarded as like one of the best things to come from this 2014 movie, just because of how awesome it feels.
It's
interesting that they, even from the outset, they tie it so directly with the atomic history, not just of Japan, but also of America.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really just, I don't know, it doesn't seem to go anywhere apart from that.
No, I mean, the Monsterverse, as it goes on, it definitely leans into more of those environmentalist messages, right? Like, humanity's kind of done stuffed up the world. It's not what it used to be. Let's give it back to the Titans or the monsters that were here before it. But that message doesn't even do it for me either. It's kind of like a, I don't know.
Yeah.
Monsterverse doesn't seem to be going hard on the messages, more so just the great kind of visuals and scenes, action-packed, entertaining fights, which I don't mind. You need a little bit of fun every now and again, you know?
Especially with the new Empire. It was all about their fun. I think we're genuinely going to like the new Empire.
I think we will too. I'm unironically looking forward to it, especially after revisiting this.
Yeah.
I mean, before we go into some of our final notes here, did you want to take us through any more trivia you might have?
Any more trivia? Yeah, dude. There's a lot to this, a lot of fun stuff. First off, at the premiere for this movie, there were a lot of Toho representatives there.
Hmm.
Toho was tied pretty closely in the making of this movie, and I know that there's like a set of rules that of things that they can't have Godzilla do.
Yeah,
like I know he can't emote like a human.
Yeah, I think one of the rules was he wasn't allowed to run, which is interesting because
really?
He's definitely running in the movie coming out soon.
He can't bite anybody
like
in half.
Like
I know
humans?
He sometimes Yeah, I know he sometimes bites humans and like chucks them off, but he can't like bite anyone.
It's interesting he's done that in Minus One since then, I think. During the first sequence of Minus One, yeah. So I think, I mean, Toho's allowed to do whatever they want.
They know what they're doing. but they're very linked to this movie. A lot of Toho people were there at the premiere, and rumors say that executives and staff members broke down in tears of joy.
Whoa.
When they saw this portrayal of Godzilla in this movie.
I thought that was going to go a way different way than what you said.
No, because, well, after the 1998 famous Godzilla American movie.
That'd be scared.
They'd be scared. It wasn't,
yeah.
wasn't in the best place in American hands. I just loved that it was almost redeemed after this movie in their eyes. Yeah. It was also the knock-on effects of that were fun as well. I know that the US military turned down a chance to have representation in this film.
Oh, really? Real soldiers or
real soldiers, yeah.
Vehicles.
The Navy ended up endorsing it in their stead.
Oh, wow.
The opening intro for this movie, where it's like the opening credits, they show a lot of the actors' names, almost like dossier style.
Yeah.
Classified blackouts everywhere.
Yeah.
One of the lines there quickly says, are these animals real? Can we prove they exist? Or are they just merely men in rubber suits with costumes designed by tricksters?
Is that what it says in the opening credits?
Jaysha, are they men in rubber suits?
Hey, who knows?
Can you tell me?
That's so funny.
I need to know. They used a huge model, 400-foot model of the Golden Gate Bridge for the big scene.
Well,
this.
That's another scene we didn't even really mention.
No, I love that scene.
How about that
buses
bus driver
lined up everywhere?
Yeah, going at it.
Going at it. They had a huge set. I think they used the same one in one of the Planet of the Apes movies.
Oh, yeah. Rise of the Planet of the Apes has a big scene on that same bridge.
They were done in the same lot to the point that one of the cinematographers of this movie accidentally showed up to the wrong movie shooting.
Really?
Around the time of this. Randomly showed up with one of his little light sticks that they used to check the color grading.
There's no way.
On the Planet of the Apes movie.
No
and he, and
way.
He said it was just like a dream, a crazy dream sequence for him because he was going around a very, very similar set, knowing absolutely none of the faces.
That is so funny. Wow.
Probably the last one I'll say. We know that with Minus One that they did some crazy stuff trying to design Godzilla's roar. To the point where they ended up putting on like a huge cinema speaker system.
Yeah.
And blasting it out. They did a similar thing with this movie. So sound designers Eric Adel and Ethan Van Der Ryn were tasked with trying to come up with the new sound for him. With the new Godzilla roar, the new Godzilla screonk. And over the 3-year period, they were still picking away at it, trying to come up with something that paid its respects really well and sounded awesome.
Yeah.
They tried different things like, one of the notable things was they had a pine tar-coated leather glove using on a double bass trying to match the initial metallic streak and the following whale like the original Godzilla.
Yeah, that's right.
They ended up, after figuring out the sound that they wanted to use, they ran it through a speaker system on the Warner Bros. Lot that the Rolling Stones used, 100,000 watt to a speaker array.
Yeah.
And they actually sent out some flyers to the city around it saying, hey, we're going to be testing out a Godzilla roar on these speakers. So just watch out. And it is said that the day that they played it, it could be heard for 3 miles.
Oh, my goodness.
To the point that there were a bunch of tweets that came out at the time saying, guys, I can hear Godzilla right now.
Just enjoying lunch at home and you just hear Godzilla.
Godzilla is at my apartment
door. Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
Can you imagine how cool that would be just to hear Godzilla?
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. How scary would that be? Do you have any little final other notes before we get onto our final review?
Well, I did hear that Akira Takarada, who has been in a lot of the Godzilla movies, was the main protagonist in the original Godzilla.
Was he Serizawa?
No, he wasn't.
No,
he was Mr. One-Shot in Final Wars.
Oh, yes, Mr. One Shot. Oh, Mr. One Shot.
I did hear that he initially filmed a scene for this movie that was sadly cut. And I don't know if it's been released yet.
No, I tried to look around for it. There are videos of him doing like signings for it.
Yeah.
I think 8 years ago, a few years after this came out, someone did say that there would be an extended release of this movie.
Hmm.
I know there's like at least 32 extra seconds of Godzilla versus Muto content that wasn't in the final film, which is quite a lot.
Yeah,
to be fair. So who knows if that will eventually come to light.
Yeah, it's sad he wasn't in it. Hopefully we see that one day. But yeah, that's all for me. Should we go into some final notes and our ratings? You want to kick us off?
Yeah, final notes. I said Muto eggs like Finding Nemo.
They look like I wanted to take a bite, you know?
That scene where they're lining, it's like almost like a tentacle. They're lining the vine-like tentacle things on the ceiling.
Get a frying pan out, grab some Muto eggs. You're away.
You're away. I'm missing Serizawa's eye patch. I wrote that down.
Hey.
Why didn't they give him an eye patch?
He comes back for King of the Monsters, Micah. Stay tuned.
Does he actually?
Yeah.
Wait, does he have an eye patch in that?
Hey, stay tuned.
You better not be
making any promises.
I loved the flare shots in the movie. There was the Halo jump where they released the red, I don't know what they're called, smoke trails.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a few scenes where we first see Godzilla and they're shooting flares at him. Another peak cinematic scene for me there. And the only other thing that I wrote down was the shot of the Muto bringing down the Eiffel Tower in like a 2 second clip. I
didn't even see it.
That's how fast it was.
Whoa, cool.
I feel like that's
was the Eiffel Tower.
I feel like that's one of the shots that they pop in just to show how powerful the monsters are. It's like, here's the Eiffel Tower. Bam. Gone.
That, I can't believe I missed that. Funny.
Yeah, Jaysha, I've heard a lot of people not liking the MonsterVerse, and I'm curious to see where it goes from here, because I actually really, really did love this movie. I think it is peak cinematography, best we've seen so far. I love the weightiness to Godzilla and all the fights. I think it's so different to everything that came before in terms of suitmation, and I love the portrayal of Godzilla. Literally, the only thing that let it down for me was the lack of compelling human characters.
Yeah.
We did have Bryan Cranston, but I'd say, every single other character was just underutilized.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from that, though, fantastic sound design.
Great soundtrack, too, I reckon.
Yeah.
They didn't use any of the like iconic Godzilla stuff, but.
No, they didn't have the. But yeah, everything else is just fantastic. If I could say anything that felt a little off as well, it would be the fact that I still don't know how I feel about the first Godzilla movie.
Titled Godzilla.
Yeah. Being about Godzilla versus a bunch of other creatures and not even having him be like a threat of destruction himself. It's always the Mutos being the ones who are doing the destruction and who the humans are afraid of. They never really share that same fear with Godzilla.
So interesting that right off the bat, he is the hero. He's the savior of the city.
Yeah. I guess he does unleash a tidal wave.
Yeah. Nearly kills
the
dog.
Which kills a lot of people. No, it actually does kill a lot of people, but the dog does survive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to... Bro, if we're eating cake every night...
Every night.
I'm going to be watching this movie for at least 4.5 of those nights while I'm eating my cake.
4.5 out of 5 nights that we're eating cake, you're going to be watching Godzilla 2014.
Yeah.
4.5.
Mostly because I feel like I don't give enough movies 4.5 in this show. I think in every other area other than probably your characters and thematic significance of Godzilla, I think this just knocks it out of the park.
Nice, man.
I really do like it.
Mike is on board with the MonsterVerse. Let's see how we go.
No, we'll see. We'll see.
Let's see how we go as it changes. My final thoughts, I didn't have much here. I thought the ending was really cool. How we see Godzilla go back to the water and then it just like stays on the water for a little bit as the water becomes still.
Yeah.
Like nothing ever happened. back to the stillness that happens so much during the movie. I love early on when Ford and his dad Joe are arguing when they first meet up. And as the argument starts to heat up, the kettle starts to boil and whistle.
Mm-hmm.
There's just some real creative moments during the whole film that I think stand out. And yeah, interestingly enough, my two main negatives were the exact same ones that you had. I think the human characters are just not given much to do. They're very underwhelming. And it just feels a bit weird to have a self-titled Godzilla movie, The Return of Godzilla, the start of a big Godzilla series. And he is a little bit on the sidelines compared to the Muto stuff that's going on. Mm. But I don't know if I dislike it or like it because we've already had so many standalone Godzilla movies.
That's the thing. I'm just unsure about it.
Yeah, me too. So maybe it works.
We'll see how we land in the days to come.
Yeah. But I liked it. I think the monster fights in this one and going forward into the Monsterverse are some of the best stuff we've gotten in the Godzilla franchise. So I'm stoked, man. I'm going to give it 4 out of 5. 4 out of 5 nights. We're eating cake. I'm going to be rewatching this movie.
Nice. I'll ask you as well, if you had to change one specific thing about this movie to bring it up maybe half a night longer.
Okay.
What would you change?
I just give, it's just the human characters. I'd just give them something to do. I don't know if there is a specific thing. Maybe give us a little more time with Ford and his wife. I think her name's Ellie. Elizabeth Olsen, give us a bit more of their time, a bit more of time with them together at home. Because he returns, we see like one scene of them together, and then he's off to find his dad. We don't really get to know those characters, learn about their relationship too much, learn about why they're missing each other.
Mm.
I don't know, there's just not much weight to it. Whereas if we got a little bit more time to just linger with them for a bit, maybe we would be more for them.
All the weight was on Godzilla. And not on them.
You're right. You are right.
I think if I had to change anything, I wouldn't kill off Bryan Cranston at the halfway mark of this movie.
You would do it later on?
I'd do it at the very end.
Yeah, that would also be really good.
Not only because we get more Cranston.
Mm-hmm. Always good.
But
more,
I think
more of the wig.
Not only just because of more of the wig, but I think that Aaron's character, Ford, works best when he's with Cranston, and I think it will just give us an opportunity to see more of him.
That would actually be pretty good, right? Because you know that in the bits we see of them both together, Ford's kind of just completely against what his dad's doing. He doesn't really want to be there, but he's doing it out of love for his father. He'll tag along. Of course, you can do this. That'd be a cool dynamic.
Mm.
His dad like pulling him along everywhere, and him just begrudgingly having to tag along with his father.
Well, because when he does die, that's right when Ford starts to believe him.
Yeah.
And starts getting on the same page as him.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It'd be interesting.
How about that Mothra representation as well?
The little caterpillar that we see. We see a lizard. Do you see that chameleon, was it?
I don't think I did.
That was obvious reference to chameleon kaiju we've seen before, right?
Not a bad idea,
right?
Though.
Right?
Legendary, hit us up.
We have a lot of reviews here from our listeners.
Ooh.
Thanks for writing in, guys. You can email us, podzillapod@gmail.com, or write a review on Letterboxd and just tag us, Podzilla or PodzillaPod. Really appreciate hearing from you guys. First one we have here is from good friend of the show, Ron.
Hey, Ron.
From the Real Latinos podcast. Ron says, whenever Godzilla is on screen, it's mesmerizing, but I find the rest of it pretty slow. Bryan Cranston was the big get in the cast, and he's great, but severely underused. I know we don't come to these things for the human stuff, but as much as I love Elizabeth Olsen and Aaron Taylor Johnson, the flick grinds to a halt whenever the big lizard is in the focus of the story. I'm also not really a fan of the Mutos, which probably has a lot to do with my dissatisfaction with this one. I think it's really cool to look at, but I don't get as excited as I want to while watching it. And he gives it a 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5?
3 out of 5 from Ron.
What's the general consensus on the Mutos? Do you know?
I don't know. I've heard that a lot of people really like them. Again, I don't know what I feel about them. I think they're cool, but the name's just a bit lame. Their look's just a bit lame. Yeah. I don't know. Let us know.
Let us know. We also have a message from Tino. In 2014, I really didn't think that an American-produced Godzilla would be any good, and I'm glad I was wrong. Gareth Edwards was perfect for the first installment of the MonsterVerse. He understood and knew what we wanted to see, and fed us breadcrumbs until we got to the meal. The story was interesting, although it may have lagged at times. The Mutos were fun adversaries for Biji, and I love Ken Watanabe as Dr. Ishiro Serizawa. 4 out of 5 glowing Muto eggs.
Glowing Muto eggs. Man, that reveal of all the eggs on her belly.
Whew, that's like a critical hit spot if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, it is. I think her nickname's Femuto. Have you heard that?
I have heard that.
The Femuto. Interesting. Maybe the lamest name of any kaiju of all time, but interesting.
Honestly, Femuto is a better name for these creatures than Muto.
We have another message here from another good friend, Joseph, or Joe Jazzy in the Discord. And Joe says, the first half of this movie is incredible, and the second half ends up being mostly okay for me. Brian acting his damn heart out in this film. When the movie gets quiet and the score goes gentle, that's peak. Had a 10 out of 10 time watching this with the lovely Podzilla crew. Amazing experience and enhanced this film a lot for me. 3.5 out of 5. Yeah, I agree with you, Joe. The second half doesn't go as hard as that first half, but the finale is really good. Maybe if Bryan Cranston was just in it more.
I think it's just missing Bryan.
That's what we needed.
Imagine that Halo jump with Bryan Cranston.
Whoa.
Do you think
Wig free falling through the air.
Do you think Bryan Cranston's the new Captain Gordon?
Hey, both of them together? That's the movie we need.
We also have another message from Kensuke Nakamura. I was out of my mind with excitement for Godzilla 2014. The trailers made it look like it was going to be Godzilla, being a terrifying, unstoppable force of nature. It seemed like it was going to be a really dark and dire take, which I was so ready for. That being said, when I actually saw the movie, I had a lot of mixed emotions. I felt like Godzilla looked incredible and the monster scenes were really good. The opening credits and theme were awesome. The human parts at the very beginning were excellent and affecting, but I wasn't wild about Godzilla immediately fighting another monster without presenting as a threat to humans first. And though the Muto grew on me as a good combination of elements of other classic monsters, I wasn't happy with them the first time. And the Ford Brody character sucked. He was really not compelling, and for a character who was supposedly trying to get back to his family, he seemed to take a lot of opportunities to get himself in danger. Overall, pretty good, and gets better without the anticipation put on it the first time. Protagonist sucked. He should have died and let his dad be the main character. That would have been much heavier and compelling.
Whoa, wait, that's actually an idea.
Wait, what?
What if Ford Brody died at the start?
Young Ford or old Ford?
What are you talking? Ford.
Flashback.
Aaron Taylor.
Brian Cranston's wife dies.
Ford
dies for some other reason.
We get the start. Joe loses his wife, right?
Mm.
And then when Joe and Ford reconnect and go back to the site, when the Muto comes out, causes destruction, Ford dies as well. And then you're left with Brian Cranston's Joe, who's lost everything, but he's still got his little grandkid that he wants to get back to safely.
Mm. They needed Aaron for the Halo jump, but I think he could have done it just as good.
Brian?
Yeah.
We got another review here from Repod Reptiles. Repod says, having grown up in the decade-long drought, thinking I'd never see a new Godzilla film, let alone one in the theater, this film was a total shock to my system and life. People around me started talking about Godzilla in the halls of my school. Teachers mentioned checking it out when they could. And friends, thinking I wasn't in the know, told me about the new film.
That must have been such a good feeling.
Yeah, that would have been amazing. What this film did for me is more than any other Godzilla film in both the past and the modern era, and I can't help but love it for that. That is why I give this film a 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
However, this is my personal subjective ranking of the film, and objectively, I'd give it a 2.5 or a 3 out of 5. While I am glad at what this film brought me, I cannot unsee some of the mistakes it made. As always, gents, take care. I love that for you, Repod. You know, I'm a firm believer in if you like something, just rate it high, you know? Give this a 5 out of 5. Who cares? Go with the vibes only.
I think there is a place to separate, to give objective and subjective rankings.
Yeah.
But subjective takes priority every single time.
Absolutely. I love that this did so much for you. It's real cool.
And last message we have here is from G. Kira. The sense of scale is nice, awe-inspiring, yet functional. Godzilla is big and powerful, but not overpowered, which is a problem Toho currently has. I think in the end, the film is a mere diamond in the rough. You can see that there's evidence of greatness that the filmmakers were trying to pull off, but they couldn't quite do it. But I know there's a lot of people who prefer this new CGI spectacle style and vociferously defend it. I don't know what that word means, but...
He was hoping to catch us out on it, but you said it very well, Mike. Good job.
I think he put that in there so that you trip up on it. Did you give this to me just for that reason?
Knowing Greg, who knows?
It brought a lot of new fans to the series, and that's good. Although it did create the faction which thinks only the MonsterVerse is good and anything Toho is terrible. But that's an argument for another time. I give Godzilla 2014 2.5 Bryan Cranstons out of 5. While the MonsterVerse does get better and brighter, we need to divert to Tokyo for a continuous series of meetings.
Oh, that leads very well into what we're covering next week. But that's real interesting. First off, I've heard a lot of like the group of Godzilla fans that just love Toho stuff and hates the MonsterVerse. I've never heard of the MonsterVerse fans that hate all the Japanese stuff.
That's the crowd. Yeah, I've heard the same things. I think that is just because most people haven't seen the Japanese.
Yeah.
No, sorry, I won't say that most people haven't seen. The Western crowd is more likely to nowadays have seen the MonsterVerse movies.
Yeah.
I'm also very curious to hear that the MonsterVerse does get better, though, because I've heard that the MonsterVerse has tended to get worse in some people's opinions.
I'm very intrigued. Anyway, next week we're going to be covering Shin Godzilla.
Whoa.
Japan's big return to Godzilla, only 2 years after this movie that we covered today. And the little synopsis for Shin Godzilla goes, a god incarnate, a city doomed. When a massive guild monster emerges from the deep and tears through the city, the government scrambles to save its citizens. A ragtag team of volunteers cuts through a web of red tape to uncover the monster's weakness and its mysterious ties to a foreign superpower. But time is not on their side. The greatest catastrophe to ever befall the world is about to evolve right before their very eyes. I can't wait to revisit this movie. I have only ever seen it once. Both of us saw it in theaters.
I can't remember like anything about it.
No. So it's going to be really, really cool to revisit it next week. And also, I mean, we'll be back with that next week. We're hoping to get out another bonus episode exclusively for our Patreon supporters very soon as well. We're going to be trying to do something a little different on the Patreon and do bonus episodes on a lot of the like extra Godzilla media. So comics, books, maybe even video games.
Yeah, specifically like tie-in content.
Yeah,
Godzilla Awakening was a prequel comic.
An official prequel comic to this Godzilla 2014. So we're going to try and read Godzilla Awakening and do an exclusive ep just for supporters about it.
And maybe have a little book club as well.
Yeah.
If you join our Patreon, you'll get a little private Discord channel where you can join and we can chat about the book.
Yeah, we can read along. We can read through the Godzilla books together. You can share your thoughts. And yeah, you can get those exclusive episodes. That's only a couple dollars a week to subscribe to the Podzilla Discord. We really appreciate your support.
Yeah,
and as always, jump into our Discord. Link's in the show notes.
Yeah, if you wanted to suggest and recommend any other pieces of tie-in content,
yeah,
whether that be video games, books, comics, even just general kaiju-related novels.
Action figures?
If you wanted us to do action figure reviews, we would do it.
When you get our hands on that Suko and Doug double pack action figure set, have you seen that?
We're going to make our own stop motion content. Fantastic stuff.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, I think that's us. It is exciting. I'm very excited to get into this new era of Godzilla. This is a really strong place to start off. What do you think of the creator, real quick? Gareth Edwards' other new movie that just came out. You liked it, eh?
I liked that. I saw it with my dad.
Yeah.
And it was...
Not my dad, your dad.
I saw it with my dad. We both really enjoyed it. I know it's not a lot of people's cup of tea, but I want to see... Has Gareth done anything else?
I'm not too sure. He did Rogue One. He did Star Wars Rogue One.
I feel like everything he's in, he just knocks it out of the park with the visual effects.
Yeah, it's the visuals, eh? His direction specifically.
Yeah.
It always feels like there's a little something lacking from like the story or the focus, But the way that guy directs, great every time.
Also, shout out for the next episode. Star of the show for Shin Godzilla is Hiroki Hasegawa. And ooh, I want to give a quick plug for our Christmas episode for 2023, Love and Peace, where he is also the main character.
Yeah.
A lot of fun musical kaiju Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Who would have thunk it?
Who would have thunk it? So before next episode, what are we saying? Play Godzilla Vox Awards.
Play Vox Awards.
Watch Shin Godzilla.
Shin Godzilla. Watch Love and Peace.
Watch Love and
Peace.
For
preparation.
Read Godzilla Awakening.
Join the Patreon.
Eat a whole lot of cake.
Eat a whole lot of cake. Every single night. Every single night. Until Godzilla the New Empire comes out.
Yeah. We're going to be eating cake every night.
Every single night.
Until the New Empire.
Thanks for listening to Podzilla. Join our Discord server, tag us on Letterboxd, and follow us on socials at PodzillaPod. Links are all in our show notes. You can also support us on Patreon at patreon.com/podzilla and get access to extended cuts of every episode and the occasional bonus ep. Huge thank you to Cassie Celine for our seasonal podcast art. And just a disclaimer that all music and additional audio used in this episode belong entirely to the Toho Company.
Is it Muto or Muto in your head?
Muto.
You've been saying both the two of them.
Have I?
And Muto is so similar to a Pokemon name, Jasha.
Muto is...
Muto.
Oh.
Muto, yeah.
What is it? Is it Muto or Muto?
I don't know. I think it's Muto.
You'd say mutant though, right?
It's not mutated? Supposed to be like mutant.
What's the first word in the abbreviation?
Massive.
Ah.
Go on. If you say it again, I'm not going to heckle you for it.
Muto.
Okay. Continue.
How about the scene? When Godzilla rips open the female Muto's mouth.
You're noticing it now, aren't you?
I can't say any words right anymore.
Okay.